Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Have you ever had to borrow money from the bank? Well, if you're in business, you'll fall into one of two categories. Either you've already had to borrow money, or you will need to borrow some in the near future. It's an unwelcome but quite normal fact of being in business. Borrowing money is a hassle no matter how you do it, and the pressure is really on when you wait until you need the money to apply for it. The ideal situation, however, is to have a line of credit already set up when those unexpected cash flow problems arise. Although many of us would love to have a line of credit already set up, few of us know how to approach the banker to get it done. Questions quickly pop into our minds like, what's the banker going to ask me? What information will I need to have available? When is the best time to approach the banker? And how much do I ask for? Fortunately, this month's speaker can answer most of those questions. George Dawson is a graduate of Stonier School of Banking and the Harvard University Graduate School of Business Administration. He has worked as a loan officer with three major banks, and since 1985, he has worked for South Texas businesses as a financial consultant, preparing loan packages, building financial models, and negotiating with banks and trade creditors. In addition to running his own consulting business, Mr. Dawson serves on the board of a local business manufacturing association and is a volunteer small business counselor and a university continuing education instructor. George understands the need for small trades companies to have a line of credit. George has worked on both sides of the fence when it comes to getting a line of credit approved. Today's tape should be of significant value to every business owner. Now, let's listen to George share about the basics of how to set up a line of credit for your company.
Many of my clients say they need a line of credit, but they're mistaken. They need some other type of loan. The line of credit is the least understood form of bank financing. So let's talk about what a line of credit is not, and then we'll talk about what it is. It is not a pool of money guaranteed to be ready for your business to use in any way you want and whenever you want. It is not the key to the bank vault. It is not a substitute for a truck loan or a building mortgage loan. And it is certainly not like a personal credit card line with monthly payments of principal and interest and an expiration date several years from now. Lines of credit are almost never offered to startup or to young businesses. Such businesses have no history of satisfying customers at a profit, and no history of completing contracts, and no history of cash flow. And most important of all, rarely is a line to carry your company through times of operating losses. Well, what about during slow season, you say? I need to keep my good people on the payroll, but no cash is coming in, and I will make up the losses in the busy season. With a few very rare exceptions, do banks lend into a money-losing situation? Banks have little interest in helping you through a money-losing cycle. It can be done if you are a well-established company with a track record of getting through slumps and making up the losses on the upside, and if there is strong collateral and personal guarantees backing the loan. In other words, it almost never happens. Well, okay, then what is a line of credit? It is money to help you through the good times when you have to pay your employees or suppliers before your customers pay you. What are good times? The predictable summer seasonal upswing in your air conditioning business, or the winter upswing in your furnace repair or chimney cleaning business. Or it could be the cyclical upward swing in the construction market, or an unusually large contract you have just won, or the new larger-than-average order you have just sold. You get the business, feel a warm glow of success, and then the cold, clammy question hits, how am I going to pay for that? A line of credit smooths out your short-term cash flow. Think of it as a reserve fund that smooths out the peaks and valleys of a profitable business cash flow cycle. A line is used to pay for short-term expenses or costs necessary to complete a job or contract. With a line, you can pay your employees and suppliers on time, or even take early payment supplier discounts using the line of credit, and then pay off the bank when your customers pay you. If a supplier offers a 2% discount for payment in 10 days instead of 30 days, and if you can borrow for less than 36% annual interest rate, borrow and take the discount and pay the loan in 30 days. You will make money on the deal. Finally, a line can help you through some occasional and unexpected slow pay from your customers, but it is not to carry poor credit accounts. Some short-term things in your business you pay for with business cash flow, like direct labor, materials, parts, subcontracts, and so forth. Other long-term things you buy with your business profits, like trucks, buildings, equipment, and furniture. So, if your business is expanding and you need another truck, finance it with a long-term installment loan and pay for it with profits. Do not finance a long-term need with a short-term line and then try and pay off the short-term line with short-term cash flow. A bank line of credit is the hardest type of loan for any business to get, but it is especially hard for the small service contractor. And an unsecured line of credit, that is one with no collateral assigned to the bank by the borrower, is even more difficult to get. However, service contractors do have bank lines of credit. How do they do it? Well, let me define for you what the successful contractor borrower has. It has a business track record of profitable operations of at least 2 or 3 years. It has persuaded the bank, the owner has persuaded the bank, that he is both a skilled tradesperson and a knowledgeable business person. And you will hear that several times during this tape, business person. The owner has applied at the bank before he desperately needs help from the line of credit. He has selected the right bank to approach. He has answered the 7 questions that all bankers asked. He has passed the test of the 5 C's of credit, has assigned life insurance in the amount of the loan to the bank, has pledged collateral to the bank, and finally, has personally guaranteed the loan. Also, the successful contractor borrower overcomes the bank's negative view of the contracting industry. Banks are especially careful in lending to contractors. Some banks won't do it as a matter of policy. Why is this the case? Because the contracting industry is known to have more than the average risk of business failure and loan default. But that's those other guys, you say. My competitors, you say. And the bank replies, prove it. You need to understand the bank's thinking, its fears, so you can work to overcome them. So here's how the bank thinks about contractors in general. First of all, your business is quite unusual in that it must price before it produces. You give a firm bid on a job and then run the risk that you will make no money on it because you underpriced or something unexpected went wrong with the job. 21 days of consecutive rainfall wiped out a client of mine in the slab foundation soil preparation business. 2 areas of highest risk from the bank's point is that the contractor will fail to perform and, of course, not get paid, or that the contractor will miss his costs and lose money on the job. A local tile installation contractor made a small plan room measurement takeoff error. He went bankrupt because the error was multiplied by the 250 tiled shower enclosures in the new hotel contract he won. Next, many of your businesses are cyclical, moving up and down with the national or local economies. This means you do not have much control over your world. Customer demand for your services is inconsistent and unpredictable. House framing contractors move in and out of Texas like migratory birds from one building boom to the next. Also, your business is very competitive, with competition based all too often on price. Yours is a business with thin profit margins and little room for error. Aren't we constantly told to get three bids on everything? And there are lots of competitors. It's easy to get into many lines of contracting without a substantial apprentice period, or without some form of licensing, or without much in upfront dollars for tools and equipment. Further, and I know this is not more good news, you are a small business without a lot of reserve financial strength. Contractors are usually sole proprietorships or small corporations whose owners have little other personal assets outside of the business to pledge as collateral to a loan. If the business fails, there's nothing else for the bank to grab. Often your business assets that are pledged as collateral have little value to the bank, no matter what you paid for the assets or what it will cost you to replace them. Why is that? Because often you own special purpose assets with no resale market outside your industry. Who needs a concrete delivery truck? Only your competitors. And no one is out there to buy that repossessed concrete delivery truck if the whole building industry is in a cyclical slump. Your business is frequently down low in the order of payments, acting as subcontractors to others. So you don't get paid until the general gets paid. And payment can be held up with disputes that have nothing at all to do with you. Add in the additional complications of retainage, progress billings, uncollectible revenue on uncompleted contracts, and the potential for the bonding company asserting a prior lien position on your accounts receivable if it's called upon to complete a job. Hey, this is a mess. And bankers are great worriers. And the small contractor gives them lots to worry about. I was trained for 23 years at three different banks to think negatively about the small contractor and loans to restaurants. However, the greatest worry of all is you. That's right. You out there listening to this tape are the banker's greatest contractor loan worrier. Part of the folklore of banking is that most small business owners are not good business people. You are seen as being good at selling or manufacturing or repairing or your basic trade skill. You are not seen as being good at putting it all together and running a business. You are considered one-dimensional and often succeeding in spite of yourself. Now, whether this view is true or not, you will come up against it. Since contracting is such an incredibly tough business, with all kinds of things to deal with, ranging from swings in the economy to some guy working out of a pickup truck and beating your prices, then you have to be more than just a skilled and hardworking tradesperson to survive and pay back that loan. You have to be a business person, a manager, a professional, a planner, a good risk. Now that I've said you are your own worst problem, I want to change the focus from you, the contractor, for a few minutes and talk about the banks and the bankers. When I said earlier that the banks I worked for did not especially care to make contractor loans, there were other banks in the same town that did not feel the same way. These banks were more willing to make contractor loans and were more comfortable with the risk of lending to contractors. This was, however, a matter of degree. While we didn't want to do any small contractor loans, the other banks were willing to do some, but none of the banks wanted a lot of small contractor loans on their books. So your first job is to scope out those banks in your community willing to lend to contractors. Now, this is not scientific research. You ask around. Ask other contractors in your town where they borrow and if they like their banker. You do not have to ask how much they borrow or what interest rate they pay. Just which bank and what is the name of the banker they deal with. I spoke at a local roofers association the other evening, and I heard at least two banker recommendations during the meeting, one favorable and the other one terribly unfavorable. Look at the checks you get from your general contractors. That tells you where they bank. In the best of worlds, you will find a small or medium-sized, locally owned bank interested in talking to you. I prefer that my clients bank with local rather than out-of-town owned banks. I think the locals are more interested in our town and interested in the local businesses. We are less likely to encounter inflexible policies made by someone several thousand miles away. But again, this is a matter of degree. All banks must meet the same regulatory guidelines for safe banking operations. But the very big banks seem to operate in a black-and-white, cookie-cutter kind of world. Now, always go to the bank by appointment. Never drop in. You might get some banker who can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Ideally, you have made an appointment with the banker recommended to you by another contractor. If you have no name, call for an appointment with someone who works with small contractors. Don't buy a new suit to go visit the bank. But you must be clean and well-groomed. If you don't look like you can take care of yourself, why would the banker think that you can take care of your business? Now, to get a loan, you must distinguish yourself from all those other contractors. You must excite the loan officer. You must stand out from the crowd. You want the loan officer to know that you are different from the typical, unprofessional, and unprepared contractor. Now, how do you stand out? Well, first of all, you stand out by answering the seven questions that are key to any loan request. The first one, how much money do you want? Number two, what are you going to do with it? Number three, why is this loan a good thing for your business? Four, why do you need our depositors' money to do it? Five, when will you pay it back? Six, how will you pay it back? And seven, what happens if your plans don't work out? Your answers to these questions are critical to getting your loan. Most borrowers don't know this. Now is the time to show that you are more than just another contractor. It's time to show that you are a business person as the banker defines a business person. Understand what I just said. As a banker defines a business person. What is that definition? That definition is someone who understands and can explain the numbers of their business. A business person understands the three basic financial statements, a balance sheet, an income statement, and a cash flow statement. A business person is concerned about profitability and understands how cash moves through their business. A business person is someone like a banker. What a terrible idea. Briefly introduce yourself and your business and then get to work answering the seven questions. Will the banker ask these questions directly? Probably not. Simply work the answers in after the description of your business. In under 10 minutes, the banker must have a good idea as to who you are and what you want, and very importantly, why he should spend any more time with you. There are lots of companies that want to borrow money. The last thing the banker wants to do is waste time on something that is going nowhere, and especially if it is a small, and that means below a $100,000 loan. First question, how much money do you want? Give an exact amount. If you are uncertain how much you might need, then give a range, but it had better be a narrow range, not more than 5 to 10%. I would like a business line of credit for $25,000. Number two, what are you going to do with it? Be very specific. Never say working capital. Working capital is a signal you may not understand your business and a hint that you may be losing money. Be prepared to support your reasoning behind all the amounts you give. We will use $10,000 for payroll and $15,000 to pay our suppliers as our business grows over the summer. We estimate that sales will be up 15% this summer over last summer. One of our smaller competitors is closed. The population in our service area is growing at the rate of 10% a year. And the long-term weather forecast is for a summer hotter than last year. Question three, why is this loan good for your business? This loan will enable us to hire the people necessary to handle the new profitable business we are booking and to keep a solid payment record with our suppliers. Four, why do you need our depositors' money to do it? Our business is seasonal, And while our company is profitable, it is growing faster than our ability to finance all of the seasonal growth with profits. 5. When will you pay it back? According to our projections, we will be able to pay the loan off entirely in 10 months. 6. How will you pay it back? We'll pay the loan with excess cash flow from profitable operations. When the season is over and our customers have paid us, we will have the money to repay the loan. 7. What happens if your plans don't work out? The bank will have the personal guarantees of all the business owners, a first lien on our business accounts receivable and inventory, plus a term life insurance policy in the amount of the loan on the life of the principal owner. If you are looking for financing for a particular contract, take in a copy of the contract. Talk the banker through the job. Point out how you have successfully completed similar jobs. Offer references from previous contracts. Explain when you have to pay and when you will be paid and when the line will be repaid. Now, after the 7 questions, you need to consider the 5 C's of credit. The 5 C's are character, capacity, conditions, collateral, and capital. These elements are more subjective than the 7 questions, but equally essential in the bank's credit decision. Let's talk about them. Character means a lender will turn down your loan request if your personal or business credit history, if your personal or business reputation, or anything else about you creates doubt that you can be trusted to pay your debts. For the small business, the quality of the owner's personal credit report is the number one factor in getting the loan. Many banks use computer programs to score loan requests. The personal credit report drives your score on these loan grading systems more than any other single piece of information. Order your personal and business credit reports before you apply for a loan. Do all you can to clean it up. Do it yourself. No one can improve your credit report for you. Firms that claim to clean up your credit record for a fee are stealing your money. It can take weeks or even months to get your creditors and the credit bureau to make the necessary allowed changes. And nothing can erase accurate and current negative information on your credit report. You can only clean up errors and erase stale data and place your side of a credit dispute into the credit file. Now, few people know this, but there are 3 national credit reporting agencies. Clearing your credit report with one is not enough. You then have to contact and fix it with the other 2 agencies as well. It is a serious mistake, by the way, to conceal outstanding debts on the loan application or on your personal financial statement. When the bank discovers undisclosed debts, you are presumed to be a liar, and it is an act of fraud, and you risk losing the protection of the bankruptcy laws. The second C is called capacity. This focuses on you and your management team, if you have one. What talents, skills, education, experience, ambition, drive, energy, commitment, and contacts do you bring to the business? What will enable your business to survive when so many before you have quit or failed? A straight historical personal resume is not enough. All this says is, here are the boxes I lived in and the things I was supposed to be doing. Instead, make sure that your resume focuses on, emphasizes, and describes your business skills, your business experience, and shows that you have the technical knowledge necessary for success in your particular business. In talking to the banker, make sure you can identify and inform him on what I like to call the key success factors of your business. What is it that really makes a business like yours profitable? What must be done day in and day out for your business to succeed? Is it generating repeat sales? Is it cross-selling? Is it keeping down overhead? Is it knowing your costs accurately? Is it after-the-sales servicing? Is it controlling scrap? If you can identify the key success factors and talk about them, it shows that you are a thinking business person, not just a guy who can turn a wrench. The third C is conditions. And these are the larger factors which you as a businessman cannot control, but to which you must respond. Conditions are hard to quantify. And as a result, the banker's negative imagination just races off into high gear. When the lender asks a lot of, what if this, what if that, what about this questions, they are probing the subject of conditions. And you must identify and explain those local and national economic and industry conditions that influence your business. What events and trends will help you out and what can hurt you? What would be your options to respond? Conditions could include economic booms and recessions, the development of substitute products, growing foreign competition, new manufacturing technologies, or even how the new tourist theme park in your area will affect your business. And under conditions, it is of great importance that you know about your major competitors and their strong and their weak points compared to you. Where do you think the bank will sell your assets if you don't make it? Who's doing well in your industry, in your town, and why? And have a strategy for handling your competition. But above all, avoid the temptation to knock your competition in the discussions. Many loans fail at this point in the application because the business owner is caught unprepared and has no answers to the probing questions. A banker sees a high level of risk in a business owner too tightly focused on the present and unaware of the external factors influencing their business. Borrowers must know what is going on around them and communicate this to the lender. The fourth C of collateral, the fourth C is collateral, and it is the traditional risk reducer. It is a supplemental support to the loan analysis, but it's not the main source of repayment. Loans are repaid most of the time by excess cash flow from profitable operations. But collateral is the banker's favorite answer to the question, what happens if your plans don't work out? Do any businesses borrow unsecured? Sure, but not many small businesses do. Unsecured borrowers are usually well-established businesses with steady earning streams and substantial amounts of unpledged assets. These borrowers have the ability to raise additional money from sources other than the bank. Now, let's talk about the loan value of your collateral. Borrowers base their opinion of collateral value, particularly machinery, equipment, and inventory, on what they paid for the asset or what they think it would cost to replace it. The value of these assets to a growing business is quite different from their value to a bank. The bank places a much lower value on your assets from the position of a rapid liquidation of a failed or failing business. If you are using equipment as collateral for the bank loan, then you need to supply the lender with current lists of used equipment prices and comparable new equipment prices. You need to show proof of an active secondary market in your industry, such as the name and location of used equipment dealers. You should give copies of industry publications if they advertise used equipment for sale. You might even provide a list of possible other buyers of used equipment, like competitors or foreign markets. And you certainly should include a copy of any equipment appraisals you have or letters from manufacturers who support an equipment resale market. The last C is capital. This is a measure of how much you, the business owner, have at risk. It is a measure of the owner's financial commitment to the business. It is a reality that if the lender is going to lose money on a loan, they want the borrower to hurt also. If the ship sinks, the captain is supposed to go down with it. There were many individuals who bought a home with a small down payment, and when times got hard, walked out and mailed the key back to the lender. They walked out on the loan because they had very little to lose. This does not happen with business loans. The more stable your company and the more certain are its profits, then the more of your cash flow can be allocated to paying off debt. This means you can owe larger amounts of money relative to your capital, relative to your investment in the company. And this is called leverage. And a company with lots of debt relative to its capital is said to be highly leveraged. So look at a public power utility with a monopoly service area and guaranteed regulated profits. It can carry a lot of debt. But a residential, commercial, heating and air conditioning service company is a highly competitive, seasonal business impacted by the general economic cycle. With a less certain and a more variable cash flow, the service company should operate with little leverage and a good cushion of owner's capital. The right amount of capital for your company is a judgment call. The bankers consider the reliability of your earnings, your management capacity, the growth trends of your company, and comparative statistics for other companies in your industry. They then form an opinion as to your personal commitment and your financial commitment to the company. Are you asking the bank to have more at risk in the company than you do? Is there enough of a capital cushion to see the company through if something goes wrong? The bank may have to foreclose immediately and liquidate collateral if there's no capital cushion to protect against operating losses and a decline in asset values. And now you ask, how am I going to cover all this information? Well, the bank has a loan application form. You ask the bank for its forms and then add to it other things, like your resume, your business brochures, and copies of specialized internal reports. The forms vary from bank to bank, but you will always find hidden in them the 7 questions and the 5 C's in one way or another. You can even buy books that describe how to put together a loan proposal. But specifically, the bank will require the past 3 years and the current year-to-date business balance sheets and income statements. It will require the last 3 years of business tax returns and the personal tax returns of all individuals who guarantee the loan, a current aging of your accounts receivable and your accounts payable, and a schedule of all your current business debts is required. Plus, all the guarantors will have to prepare a personal financial statement. The bank will want a schedule of all current jobs or contracts in progress. And lastly, it will want a projected income statement, balance sheet, and cash flow for the next 12 months. Since the line of credit is to smooth out your cash flow, then you will have to show that you understand the business events that impact your cash flow the most. Things such as major customers or contracts, the season, the building cycle, and so on. You are expected to show how your cash flow compares from year to year, and of course, what you expect to happen in the next 12 months when you intend to use the line of credit. Your projected balance sheet shows how much collateral you can provide with your accounts receivable and inventory. The projected income statement details the sources of income and all your expenses, and the cash flow projection shows what really happens to the money flowing through your business each and every month. How much, where is it coming from, where is it going, and most importantly, how is the bank going to get repaid? Since excess cash flow from profitable operations is the only way to repay most business loans, you must show your business management capacity by discussing how cash moves through your company. Now, this is a load, and all you want is a small loan. Well, the size of the loan has nothing to do with the amount of information required. Treat all your loan requests as if you are borrowing millions. This information must be presented in a neat, orderly, and professional format. The bank will not help you do any of this application work. If you can't do it, get your accountant to help you, or contact your local university and small business administration-sponsored Small Business Development Center to help you put this together. There are over 900 small business development centers scattered around the country. You see, this is where and how you show the banker that you are both a contractor and a business person. And regardless of who helps you, you have to be personally involved in the preparation of your loan package. I will not work with clients who are not personally involved in the preparation of their loan package. The banker will ask you the questions and expect you to answer them, not your accountant, not your consultant. Your accountant is not going to run the business. Your consultant is not going to personally guarantee the loan. A client and I went to one of our conservative local banks for a line of credit to finance a large new contract. We had a great loan package, but it was obvious to me as the banker skimmed through the package that he didn't think much of contractors. That is, until the banker came to the job status report. Now, my client tracked every job from the first estimate to completion. He could tell you at any time how much money he had in a job and how far along he was with the job and how it compared with his original bid. He could tell you, when a job was done, exactly how much money he had made or lost and how, and why the final results were different from his original bid. When the banker saw that report,
his eyes widened, and my client was instantly transformed from a contractor to a business person. And later that week, he got the line. The lender is trained to think in terms like average day sales and accounts receivable, or average day's purchases and accounts payable, and average day's cost of goods and inventory. Learn what these terms mean and how to use them in your business. Your accountant can help you with these terms and how to calculate them. Your financial ratios will be compared to those of similar companies in your industry. This is called an industry average comparison. So get the industry data ahead of time, either from your trade association or from a book called Robert Morris Annual Statement Studies, which is available at most libraries. Work with your accountant or consultant or your local small business development center to understand these ratios and understand how your company either fits or doesn't fit the industry average profile and why. It is important that you recognize any significant differences between your company's financial profile and the industry average financial profile and be able to explain why these differences exist. Our accounts receivable are lower because we do almost exclusively residential as compared to commercial contracting. Our accounts payable are higher, 10 days longer than the industry average, because we get special extended terms from one major supplier. After the bank says yes, and before you sign on the dotted line, there are some other things you need to know about a line of credit. It's only for 1 year. Sometime during that year, you will be required to rest the line. This means pay it all off for at least 30 days. In other words, you have to show that you do not need the line all the time. If you come to the bank and arrange for the line in a slow period, when you do not need to use it, you can easily meet the resting requirement. Also, you show the bank that you plan ahead, and remember, banks like planners. The good news is that you do not pay interest on the whole amount of the line, but only on the amount of money that you actually borrow, and only for the number of days you use the money. So if you have a $25,000 line, but use only $10,000 for 30 days, you pay interest for 30 days on $10,000. You do not pay interest for 365 days on $25,000. But interest is paid monthly. Some banks charge what is called a standby fee. It is usually less than 1 percentage point on the amount of the money you do not borrow. Now, this is quite rare for small lines, and if the bank says there is a standby fee, ask if they charge it to all borrowers. That may get it dropped. You can borrow and pay back and reborrow again under the line as much as you like during the year. And each time you come into the bank to borrow, you will sign a separate note for that part of the loan. These notes are usually for 90 days and are renewed and replaced with a new 90-day note when they come due. These notes, or advances as the bankers call them, are sometimes demand notes, which means the bank can demand payment at any time they want. Try not to sign a demand note. Ask for a note with a specific maturity. But now, here comes the truly bad news. The bank can refuse to let you borrow money from your line. If the bank has reason to believe your business is not doing well, like losing money, the bank can refuse to advance under the line of credit. So a line is not a permanent commitment on the part of the bank. The bank is clearly under no legal obligation, I repeat, under no legal obligation to advance under the line, to renew a note within the line, or to renew the line after it expires. Changes in bank policy or in bank ownership, problems in your industry generally, or with your major customers can make you unattractive as a customer, and the bank can refuse to renew the line when it comes due. The bank tracks the financial health of your company during the year. It will want monthly statements on your company and at least quarterly contract status reports. Can you produce accurate financial statements every month? Do you have a contracts in progress reporting system? Don't plan, by the way, to spend a lot of time bargaining about interest rate on the loan. The first-time borrower has no leverage on the bank. after you have borrowed, paid down, and renewed your line several times, then you have a track record of performance and should expect some reduction in your interest rate. In most communities, loan interest rates are pretty competitive. And if you shop your loan around too much, looking for a better interest rate, you may find that no bank wants to deal with you. So, only the big, well-established contractors get a line of credit, right? Not true. The established and well-prepared loan applicants get the lines. Size has less to do with it than preparation and credibility. So, in summary, identify and communicate the key success factors of your business. Be very specific and detailed in your financial projections. Explain how your business creates a competitive edge. Do all you can to show that you are a business person, a manager, a planner, as well as a skilled contractor. Is this picture somewhat discouraging? Perhaps. But I've also given you an outline of what it takes to get a bank line of credit. So even if you do not qualify today, you can work towards qualifying in the near future. But start now, before you desperately need financing. Review your personal and business credit reports. Check out the local banks and bankers. Contact a small business consultant with your area university small business development center. Prepare to answer the 7 questions. Look at your business from the point of view of the 5 C's. Prepare to present yourself as a business person as well as a skilled contractor. Get started setting up that line of credit right now. And good luck. Thank you.
We hope this edition of the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month has given you many new ideas to help you run your company more effectively. Also, don't forget to phone, fax, or call in your order for the Service Sense Tape Series for Technicians. Order today and get a free tape album. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.